Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Big shock. Last week we talked about the importance of knowledge, adding to your virtue knowledge. What we discussed is that knowledge in and of itself is not specific, but in the meaning of the word is a broad subject. Knowledge could be knowledge of how eggs are hatched, could be how churches run, could be how an engine produces power. There is a lot that goes into the word knowledge, but the context of this word, of course, is knowledge in the things and virtue that is God's moral law. The emphasis of last week was to keep it in the context of taking it in, the knowledge of the holy, make sure we make it a priority of learning more of Christ, and that is especially important as we go into this week as well. So think with me with this scenario. I almost call it my scenario of the week because I have one about every week. But have you ever said under preaching that was perhaps spoken in haste? Maybe talking to a new convert whose excitement was so much that there were some things that you just kind of cringed at. You almost kind of took you aback by how it was said. Or do you recognize when somebody maybe took a piece of truth and added a whole bunch of supposition, and this was what they were speaking to you at that very time? We've all, I'm sure, been in this situation one time or another where there was almost too much excitement that the full impact of the truth hasn't really settled in yet with somebody, to where they say it, and they say it hard, and they say it emphatically, and they end up saying it the wrong way. We've all been through that before. In fact, I've been in that place many times myself. What is lacking in that situation? Well, they didn't let it soak in. They didn't let the understanding of the truth go through it. They didn't fully take in the meaning of that truth and how it applied to them before they let it try to apply to others. This particular skill is called, spoiler, temperance. So let's keep that in mind as we read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. We're just going to read those two. That's 2 Peter 5 and 6. I'm in 1 Peter, so I'm on the ball. There we go. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Something that's super interesting about each one of these, when it says add to your faith virtue, there is a punctuation there that looks like a period and a comma. That is called a semicolon. Most of the people in here know that, but who knows what a semicolon does? I know, first we go on about math, and we're here in English. It's like one or the other. But a semicolon is meant to not put a thought on hold. It means the sentence after adds to that thought, but this thought is meant to be dwelled upon in and of itself before moving on. It's almost like putting a sawhorse in front of something. Anyone could jump over that sawhorse, but you got to stop and think about it before you do. You could still get to the other side and it goes with whatever's there. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bridge. It's more like a stop and think and then continue. It's like a Selah, if you will, a lesser version. So when they put those semicolons there, after everything you're supposed to add, you're supposed to really stop and think about what you're supposed to be adding before you move on to the next one. I say that because temperance has the same effect. Picture with me a small child between the ages of 2 and 3. Some of us have that same scenario. And you give this, you want to teach this child something. And so you sit them down because they're eager to learn. They always are. You sit them down and you start teaching them something. And you teach them something, they go, wow, yeah. And you're just like, okay, great. Well, then you move on to this step and you do this. And like, wow, yeah, great. And you move on to the next step. Well, eventually, 4 or 5 steps in, they start really getting excited. And then they go and do something totally out of character. And this could be anything from like wild movements, screaming. It could be something like biting, just whatever. But they just go completely out of character, and they go from wanting to learn whatever you're teaching them to an absolutely out of their mind, excited, emphatic, just expression, because they're so excited to learn this same, this principle you're trying to teach them. I've had this experience with my kids many times where I'm like, yeah, and then you do this. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, you do this. Yeah. And you're trying to keep it calm and teach them step by step. But eventually, somewhere in that step, it just becomes completely overwhelmed with the excitement and the knowledge that they just go nuts for a second. And you got to tone it back. Like, okay, all right, come back to reality. That's exactly what it's called. It's called overstimulation. Now picture with me the newly saved Christian gaining all this knowledge, and they understand, you know, they're like, wow, that's right. Wow, that's great. Wow, that's awesome, to where they just absolutely go nuts, and they just go and tell somebody, and they tell it the wrong way. Because they're so excited, and they're so overstimulated because of the awesomeness that is salvation, and then everything that goes along with it that they learn as they go, and they learn, and they just want to take in so much that they just pump it out with absolutely no filter. They run across somebody in the store and they're like, hey, do you know that was wrong? You're wrong. You're going to hell. I've literally seen this happen. Well, it's completely true what they're saying. The knowledge is there. But they've skipped a step. They've really skipped a step. Because now that person, I don't think they're going to receive it that well. And it's mainly because when you do it that way, you're not giving out the truth in love. You're simply spewing knowledge. Something that you've learned, you're just spewing it out like there's no tomorrow, because everybody needs to know. This is true. But follow along with me. So, you are now absolutely in sensory overload mode. It says to add to this knowledge that you've taken in so quickly, it says to add temperance. So, what is temperance? You know, I Googled this because I love doing this. And the one definition it gave me on Google was to abstain from alcoholic drink. One and only definition. I'm like, wow, that's great. Add to my knowledge abstinence. That's not what it said. But the word, literally, in Google world, I call it, translated to abstinence. Abstinence is a requirement of Christianity, I do believe. But it's not what it's talking about here. All right? Good for funny, not good for anything else. So we go back to the dictionary, which actually has words in it. And it says that temperance is moderation in action, thought, and feeling. Moderation in action, thought, and feeling. So he says to add to your knowledge temperance. What is moderation? Not all of it at one time. It's understanding the limits of your learning. And furthermore, it's understanding the limits of other people's learning. When you take in all that knowledge, you must understand that when you're being taught, you have a limit. I've heard this all my life. It was one of my dad's favorite whatever-isms. Is that learning the Bible is like a cow chewing cud. They swallow in all this stuff, but they don't really have it all processed. They just keep burping it up and they chew it again. They swallow it down. They burp it up and they chew it again, swallow it down. He says they do that 6, 7, 8. He would say this in Sunday school and make kids laugh. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times they would do this. Just burp it up, chew it up, and swallow it back. You know, just keep going. But the point of it was they didn't get everything out of what they took in the first time. It all went in, but not all the nutrition came with it. Temperance is understanding how much you can process at one time. You're supposed to add to your knowledge temperance, a moderation in your action with this knowledge, with your thoughts with this knowledge, and your feelings with this knowledge.
It's like modesty.
Exactly.
Same root meaning, you don't reveal everything you have.
Take that to note. Make sure the recording gets all that.
Yeah.
You are to make sure that everything is processed the way it should be first. Everything done for the kingdom of God relies on what you do with what goes into your mind. All the knowledge floods your mind. Temperance applies it to the heart and soul, a little at a time. That's why we always talk about head knowledge, heart knowledge. What goes into your mind doesn't always become applicable to your heart because of what you do or don't do with it. Everything you take in is stored with your mind, is processed in your heart and soul with extreme zeal, or is processed with temperance and incorporated with wisdom. It takes time and multiple visits to the same piece of knowledge. This is taking knowledge that's obtained and not taking zealous action. How many times have we heard of somebody taking super zealous action? There's this group in Popper Bluff, and I usually would buy something from them every time they come through. Is they take these recovery addicts, and they take them in, they teach them the Bible, and they give them all this knowledge and try to convert them. And what they do is they take their time, and they just absolutely take it up, and they make these crosses or pictures with verses on them. And they do a really good job at it. And a lot of times they look really nice, and they'll use KJV usually. But they fill these guys with knowledge. And see, they'll come into the dealership. They used to come in every time when I sold cars, and they'd sell me something because, really, they were pretty good people. But they would just throw up knowledge like there's no tomorrow. Like, if I wasn't who I was, I'd probably be offended by them because they would just throw it up. Because they'd say, all the Santa Claus junk you're feeding your kids, you need to stop all that, and they'd just keep going on and on and on. They were 100% right. They said, I believed all this other stuff, and here you are, you're just leading down the same path, and blah, 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 and it made a lot of sense, and really, it was pretty cool. They preach a whole sermon while you're sitting there, and you're giving them money. But it was almost like their zeal for them to stop leading their kids down that path. The zeal was well placed, but misapplied. It's the same thing when you take in all this knowledge without temperance. There is no full understanding of not only where you are when you teach it, but where everyone else is when you're teaching it. It's really interesting standing up here and teaching Sunday school at my age, because I have, particularly in earlier years, completely taken for granted where everybody else was in their life. Some ways that I have no idea just how shallow I'm teaching, and in other ways I've said stuff that are like, okay, nobody was ready for that. Not even me. So that zeal was completely misapplied, and so it wasn't fully understood. So the study of vain words that I did here a while back for myself kind of kicked myself in the pants, in that when you say it and nobody can receive it, I almost feel like that was a vain use of my time up here, because there was no temperance in the knowledge that I had. You ever get up here, and I know you get up here a lot, just as much as I do, and you too. You ever get up here and you have something to say, you have something you want to say, and for some reason you can't get it out. You just can't get it out, and so you just abandon the thought completely and move on. I really think that's the Holy Spirit saying, no, you just better not. And then you wonder, why doesn't he do this at other times when you say stuff that really shouldn't have come out? Temperance is making sure that not only you're ready, but that everyone else is ready as well. It is moderation in your own thoughts, your own action, and your own feelings. It's keeping yourself accountable to God with everything you say. It's not our job to make sure everybody follows every commandment.
That's right.
It is, and it's really not our job to make sure everybody knows every commandment.
That's right.
Did you know that Jesus taught in steps and in parables because his disciples were not ready to know what he had to say right then? He taught in parables because he said, look, you're not going to understand this right now. But remember this. Keep this knowledge. Because you're going to know this one day. And so he would just go on with a parable. And everyone would be around scratching their head. So what he often did not do was say, okay, here's what it means. He didn't do that all the time. There are a couple places where he says, this is what this parable means. Because they were ready to receive it. He discerned they were ready to receive it. The Holy Spirit gives you that discernment. He gives you temperance, which is the ability. I don't want to say the ability to read the room, because tell you, I can't read the room that great. My eyesight does not aid. But that temperance is there when you just choke up and you're like, can't get it out. Sometimes you ought to just take that as the Holy Spirit tempering your speech and move on. Not everything you think is for you guys. Sometimes what I think is for me. Sometimes what I find in my studies for Sunday school is not for you guys, it's for me. Because maybe I put that in there and I'm like, holy cow, I know, this is so groundbreaking, this is so amazing. But I don't fully understand it. I find this amazing idea, I'm like, this is great, I'm going to make a lesson out of this one. And I don't understand it. I haven't applied temperance. It's merely knowledge that will aid in my spiritual walk, that will add to the character of Christ that I'm building. But it's not tempered yet. Exactly. All right, talk to any chocolate manufacturer about tempering chocolate. It is not a quick process. But it is greatly beneficial in that it makes a smoother, less crummy chocolate with more full flavor, and it's more stable. But if you were to dump the chocolate out into the molds, dry it out, pop it out, wrap it up, and send it out, nobody would buy your chocolate. It'd be like those Girl Scout cookie bars where they're like $1 a bar that they use for fundraisers because no one would buy them otherwise. I'm sorry. Facts are facts. Because the chocolate bars are untempered. Hershey's makes a killing because of the time they take to put out their product. I enjoy it too, obviously. How much more? So when I am reading through something and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so helpful, I'm going to go give it to everybody. I can just see God up there going, oh no, 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 not yet. Back it up. Just hold on. Because I go out there and I zealously, keep that word under your hat, zealously just throw it out there and say, this is what we've been doing wrong the whole time, stop it and do this. There is very little spiritual benefit to this.
Sure.
Preaching to myself right now, there is no spiritual benefit in throwing up every bit of knowledge you gain in your own personal reading. Because you put nothing in that time, if you discover something new, guaranteed that you have not tempered it to your own heart yet. There is no benefit, because if you haven't tempered it to your own heart, there is no spiritual sensitivity to where everyone else is in their heart. And there's no readiness in their heart. You may have been ready to receive that knowledge and start applying it. But not everybody is. That knowledge is for you. And the Lord will reveal all else in it all other times to other people. So to understand this, is temperance a spiritual requirement? Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Because I just preached something about, are you an offense? Without temperance, you are offensive. Mm-hmm. You are not giving, you're not feeding the flock, you're offending them.
Yep.
And you are hindering the effectiveness of the Word of God. Because no matter who else preaches that passage correctly, you have ruined their view on that passage of Scripture. You have put a mark on the Scriptures that should never have been there.
Yep.
Understanding before you get up here and preach a over-the-top message, because remember that last thing you're supposed to moderate in the meaning of temperance, feeling? How many sermons have you heard pumped by the feeling of excitement for their new understanding, or so they call, of that verse? Excitement makes a lot of mistakes. Ada, if you get her set down and you show her the crayon, she's staying in the lines, and you go, "That's such a good job, Ada, staying in the lines." You know, she'll grin, she'll start doing, and you say, "Man, you're doing such a good job." Eventually, she starts coming a little quicker, and then a little quicker. And then a little quicker, and then all over the place, that paper's got full of scribbles, and there ain't no lines left. And you're like, okay, all right, so, all right, let's put this away.
Zeal.
She gets way overzealous because everyone likes what she's doing. She has discovered that she can color in the lines and make everybody happy. So then she's like, happy, 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 and then excitement just goes everywhere, and she absolutely bursts. Whew, that kid is something else when she gets excited.
Yeah.
Adults are the same way.
Yes.
They figure something out, and they get excited about this, and so they just throw it in a sermon anywhere. I knew a guy, I grew up under him, he would just, if he had a new piece of information or an illustration that he thought was great, for some sermon, he didn't know what yet. He would just throw it out there. You know, he'd be sitting there, all right, turn to Ephesians. We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And he'd go, you just never know. You just never know. And just throw in some other illustration. And if you, he got a couple amens, he just got louder. And he just got more jittery. And he'd get more stomping and more clapping. And more amens would come. And he would just keep going, you know. And eventually, he would say something that everybody regrets. And that's when, I mean, from then on, the sermon was lost. But see, he just kept going and kept going. And eventually, he was scribbling outside them lines everywhere.
Yeah.
And the excitement fueled what he had to say. The Holy Spirit was gone. Mm-hmm. And the excitement fueled what was to come next. There are some people up the road that have the same tactic. That explodes pretty often, too. So, temperance yields understanding. So the lack of temperance yields the opposite, in that there is no understanding. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, colon. Against such there is no law." Something that when I grew up, the Baptists were really good at doing was someone who was newly saved. They had 2 weeks to be called to preach, just about, if you were a guy. Not kidding. If you got saved in a meeting, you better be called to preach the same meeting. It's a missions conference, and we got to rack up the numbers. And so they would go out and get saved, and they had, like, I'm not kidding, they would push them. They'd say, for one, they weren't really saved. Let me just throw that out there. They were some hyped up, pray this prayer kind of deal. And they would come up to the preacher later on and say, "I just have this feeling in my heart. I just don't know what's wrong. I just don't know what's wrong." He'd say, "Well, you're called to preach, boy. That's what this is." He was being called by God, but not to preach, let me tell you. And we absolutely quashed that because he prayed this prayer. Obviously, he's good. And I said, "Well, I really don't know if it feels like that." He said, "Well, you just don't know. It's just a call. It's just a call." And they would pump it up. Well, that night, they would say, "These many people were called to preach." And then they give them opportunities in the pulpit, you see. So problem number one is you're putting unsaved people in the pulpit to try and preach a message of God. That never works. We're right back to spewing knowledge that they were given right there that week. And so usually they'd repeat the whole sermon over in a lot less, it was kind of amiable. But it was kind of one of the deals where you threw them up there and that's what it was. And so that's what they were good at. Win them, let them, work them. That was the motto. And so the emphasis was placed on the fact that they were called to preaching and to get up there and preach. And so they throw them up there and preach. And what's worse is when they got up there to preach, you got 15 minutes and this many scriptures go. And if you went over 15 minutes, they got docked a point. And then another point for every... Like, they had a point system. The preacher had a scorecard you had to go discuss after you were done. Works for football players, I guess, so it can work for preachers. And he was the coach of the football team, too. And so he would go in there, and they'd pull him in the office, and he would grade them. And he would grade how their sermon was and tell them how they could get better. What they need to do, read this book, here's a Bible, here's a couple sermons for you. Good luck. I wish I was joking. This is really how it went. And so when youth night rolled around, that was round two. And so now they were equipped with the knowledge to go preach, you see. Because after the first crash and burn, the preacher really got them ready for this one. So they would get up there and they would preach for 14 minutes and 58 seconds and then leave. Scorecard complete. They would have a sermon that included nothing but knowledge completely unfiltered by anything else in the Bible. It was just scriptures and then screaming and then a scripture and then screaming and then a prayer and you were gone. 3 points in a poem, like any good Baptist sermon. But there was absolutely, it was full of knowledge, but no understanding, no temperance. There was no personal application. If you get up here and you preach, you have been meditating on this for a little while. You've been applying it to your own heart. You've seen the results. You've seen why the opposite or what you have been doing is wrong. You see why what you're doing is right. God has communed with you and shown you this, and now He's okayed it for the church. That's usually how study and prayer and disbursement goes. You never release a product until it's ready for everybody. That's basic. But these guys were just absolutely throwing it out there. And that's what preaching became to them. And so this one guy that took the church and then left the church, well, he was an evangelist for a little while because nobody could stand him. And so he went on evangelism. And then when he found a church in Roswell, New Mexico, and took them. And about 3 years into that, they hated him too. And so he was back into evangelism. Every time he came in, he gave the preacher a steak dinner because he was so awesome. And you better fork over the money for it too because he wasn't paying for it. So you had to pay him and a steak dinner for the preacher. But there was no understanding, no temperance. There was no study. There was no communion. There was no nothing. All it was whatever he could pull in from what he listened to, read, if he read the Bible at all, but mostly commentaries about the Bible, that's what they preached. Anytime an expository sermon was preached, he'd read the verse, he said, and listen to what Matthew Henry has to say, or listen to what John What's-His-Face has to say, or listen to what this person had to say about this verse. Now you see, isn't that more insightful? Okay, let's keep reading. That was an expository sermon. No understanding, because there was no temperance. There was no application to their heart. There was no revisiting. They read it once, and that's what it meant. And so we're going to go tell everybody that's what it means. No temperance. A lot of times at work, I kind of have this same idea when someone lays a situation down in front of me, right? And I think this is what we should do. And I say, well, probably not. That's mostly what I say, probably not. And they just look at me, I said, what's brain on this a little bit? And I guess that's my term because no one's ever heard it before. I said, what's brain on this a little bit? And what I mean is you're going to sit and you're going to think about this situation a little bit. And you're going to think of every possible way that what you just said could go wrong. Because telling half a truth is half a lie, and half a lie means a whole lot more than half a truth. Especially when talking to customers. And so usually when they come back and say, have you thought about that situation, Annie? I said, well, have you thought about this situation, Annie? And they're like, well, no, I've been too busy out there thinking. I said, I've been pretty busy here myself, but here's what I think about the situation. Because multitasking is really hard for people nowadays. And so you say, look here. Here's what we're going to tell the customer. And I tell them exactly what went wrong. And they're like, well, that's just the truth. I said, exactly. Okay, so start there. And then we're going to tell them what we're going to do about the situation. Well, what are we going to do about the situation? So I got one for you, and it's better than lying. We're going to do this and see if it works. I'm like, oh my goodness, that sounds so easy. I said, now call the customer and tell them that. So they call them and explain them, and they come back into my office and say, you'd be surprised, they were just super nice. That's interesting. I'm sure glad we didn't do what you said we were going to do. Because there was absolutely no thought, no moderation in our thought. It was just, if we do this, we can cover our own hind ends. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because if you don't moderate your thoughts, that's human, what do they call it? Self-preservation generally goes straight to that. You lie to cover yourself. It doesn't work. And so when you brain on a situation, you run it through your heart, mind, and soul. One, because my heart and soul holds the principles that I live my life by. My mind merely processes situations. You have to put it through all three for a correct outcome. The reason they won't come up with it is because of the principles that dictate their life and situations. If they don't hold the same thing, then you're just never going to agree. But when you got a little promotion, it really helps to tell them that's what you're going to tell them. You have to understand that the truth, that the faith and the virtue is the upstand, the holding up of moral law no matter what. You gain the knowledge of what moral law is, God's law, which is the only moral law. You add to that temperance, which applies it to your heart and soul no matter what, because you're applying virtue as well. There is absolutely no way you can go wrong if you think a situation through.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen, Gabe.
So you see, temperance is not merely waiting. It's not merely what they call practice temperance at the Thanksgiving table. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
Granted, you could, because the action of eating is something you could moderate.
Right.
But it goes so much deeper than that. Temperance is the application of moral law to your heart and mind. Mm. It is also the temperance in acting on what you learn. You add knowledge first because you need something to apply, obviously.
Right.
But it also holds you back from misusing that knowledge. Mm-hmm. Why do you think they were all about not causing their brothers to stumble? If temperance is practiced, then the stumbling, putting stumbling blocks out, that chance is greatly minimized. So add to your knowledge temperance. Mostly, I'm just going to skip to the end because I'm out of time. Mostly what temperance is here is not so much a moderation of other people, it's a moderation of yourself.
Yes.
It's a moderation of the knowledge you take in, how much you process, apply, and give out.
Yes.
It is preventing the output of knowledge and is enabling the output of what ends up being charity. Charity is a key element in putting out only what others need, allowing God to put it out for you and help people along the way, not caring what they have and have not applied themselves. We all have a lot to learn, and we all could certainly learn it and be better off for it. But it's not my job to make sure Seth knows everything he's doing wrong. That's God's job.
Yep.
It's not my job to keep Brother Mitchell in line. It's a hard job. Don't know how you do it. But it's not my job to do it. He knows a lot more than I do. That doesn't mean you come up to him, Brother Mitchell, you know that one thing you're doing? I read this week that you just need to stop doing it. And I read it in my Bible, and here's the chapter and verse that you just need to quit. This is not going to work.
Right.
I can't let you dwell in the church and let that keep going. That's just not going to work. Stop. Have a great day. God bless. That's not the way it works. I ought to apply it to my own life first, and God will teach them. And one day, if I happen to pull out that chapter and verse after I applied it, and I say it in a tactful manner that the Lord has given me through His temperance of the Holy Spirit, Brother Mitchell will get that, and he can apply it to his own life. Because in the end, any words of knowledge that come from me have very little effect on how he's going to apply it to his heart.
Yeah.
Add temperance. Not just for yourself, but for everybody around you.
Yep.
It'll moderate your thoughts, actions, and most importantly, your feelings. The ignition of feelings tends to do more damage to anyone, no matter if what you're saying is right.
That's
right.
Yeah. It does more damage to the kingdom of God because your feelings have fueled this output of knowledge.
That's right.
Instead of the temperance to apply it and teach it in the time in which the Holy Spirit will dictate. Add temperance.
Amen.